Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Friday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. I am back. Sorry I had to be out yesterday. A little unexpected illness struck, but we have a lot of news to get to today. Clay and I are excited to be able to talk to you all across the country. I'm in NYC. Clay in Jacksonville, Florida, for a big game this week, and I'll tell you about what's going on there. But speaking of big games, the Atlanta Braves getting attention, not just for being in the World Series. We'll talk about it. Clay has a great quote to share with you that he's got on what we should think about all that stuff. You got the Virginia governor's race now, the reality of a possible Youngkin. I don't want to jinx it, but a possible Youngkin win starting to become more apparent to people across the country based on the polls. But it ain't over till it's over. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, you think it's going to be an election that has no issues, Buck? You think it's going to be fair? I'm just telling you what the polls say. We'll discuss that Virginia showdown. Plus, Biden's in Europe, no doubt admiring all of the socialism and being told he's a good Catholic by the Pope, who did not bring up abortion, to which I would say not a good Pope. Conversation we could have later, perhaps. And then just to give you a sense, the guests we have today, we have Allison Williams, who lost her job because she refused to get the vaccine as a sports reporter. David Harsanyi, longtime friend of mine, new book out, Eurotrash, about how Europe's not as great as people pretend it is when it comes to the economy and its policies, its politics. Good time for that because Biden is over there. David will be joining us later on. And also, fellow I'm pretty sure you're all familiar with, third hour of the show, Donald J. Trump, the former president of the United States, with some big announcements about his new media venture. But first, it's rare that we see a story these days about the Biden administration that you say, hold on a second, this can't actually be true. But this is one of those moments. Given all of the just idiotic decision making around COVID and the economy and countless other areas, we have a Biden administration that is failing in real time before all of our eyes. So you'd think that we'd be pretty prepared for more bad decision-making from them. But we hear that they're planning, Clay, to put $450,000 a person for families that were separated at the border under the Trump administration, the ACLU, bringing this lawsuit. And the ACLU is working very hard, always, to kick at the load-bearing walls of American civilization. No interest in free speech, no interest in liberty, just wants to collapse America and rebuild with leftist authoritarians running the show. But we're actually now, Clay, looking at the possibility of $450,000 a person, $1 million a family for illegal aliens who came into the country in violation of our law, did so willingly and knowing exactly what they were doing. More per person than we give to the families of those who die in combat for the United States military abroad. There is a point at which you just wonder, I mean, the Biden administration, is it so ideological that it has lost its mind?
It's such a bad idea, Buck. Let's discuss it. As you just laid out, the raw politics of it is insanely stupid. But we're talking about Joe Biden already having the worst record at the border in terms of American, independent, Republican, Democrat, everyone acknowledges that the border is a sieve, that it's an unmitigated disaster. And if you thought to yourself, how could Joe Biden make an already disastrous situation worse? This might well be the answer. Because in addition to it just ringing wrong, I would say for, frankly, 99% of Americans, I really do believe that when 99% of Americans hear, wait a minute, you're telling me that illegal immigrants who illegally crossed into this country, knowing that they were unwelcome and that they were violating our own law, when we separated those families, we're now going to have to be paying them hundreds of millions of dollars, and we're paying them despite the fact that they broke the law. And you want to talk all the time about the message that the Biden administration is sending. How, Buck, do you think this kind of payment would be received for anyone who was thinking about trying to cross the border? They are going to be incentivizing as many children as possible, because you know the way the game of telephone works as it spreads down through all of these different refugee camps and all the different people that are illegally in Latin America and want to be in the United States. They already think of America as a land of milk and honey, which compared to where they are is accurate and is one of the driving reasons why they are coming here. But then you add in that they can break the law and potentially become millionaires in our country. We've already had in October the worst month basically on record at the border for crossings ever in most of our lives. And now you're going to be this incompetent and give even more incentives to anyone considering trying to cross the border to think that they might end up millionaires. It's so bad. If you were trying, Buck, to come up with the worst thing to do at the border, I think the Biden administration might have come up with it. This is the worst idea I've ever heard.
I think it goes beyond incompetence to maliciousness. I think they know what they're doing. I mean, this is where we have the big separation of the southern border. It used to be that there was at least a belief that Democrats and Republicans agreed that we should have something of a secure border, that there should be a control over who comes and goes. We should have sovereignty at our international boundaries. Democrats at least paid lip service to that. They pretended that they cared about that. Increasingly, what we see is that's obviously not the case. They want it to be a de facto open border. They want as many illegal migrants as possible to come into the United States. They aren't able, because there are still federal laws on the books, to do so, you know, across the board, but they allow all of these massive loopholes and incentives to stay, and they make sure that there's really no punishment. If there's no punishment, if there's no downside of trying to come into the country illegally, you're going to have a lot of people who keep trying to come in. They know that. And as long as the incentive structure is what it is under the Biden administration, Clay, we both know the numbers keep getting worse. But by putting these payments out there, this is just gross politics. It's meant to be a repudiation of the Trump border securing efforts, right? This is meant to be, see, we have to pay these families. And this is just a decision made by the Biden DOJ. This isn't like, you know, there's not some fair-minded approach to any of this. This is Biden's people saying, we're going to write checks to these families because of all the terrible things the Trump administration did to them, because this makes it look like, oh, Trump was the evil monster when it comes to the border. Meanwhile, Joe Biden has set up a situation where you have more people than ever being human trafficked. The cartels are getting richer off this human smuggling than ever. We have fentanyl flooding into the country that is killing people in towns and cities. If you're listening to this right now anywhere in America, there are people within a few miles of where you are likely who are taking fentanyl that comes across the U.S.-Mexico border because Border Patrol is overwhelmed and the cartels are richer and more influential than they've ever been. I mean, this is a disaster. But they won't stop it because ideologically the Democrat Party has moved to being an open borders party. They think America deserves this. They think we're getting what we deserve right now.
And that's why I think as we get closer to 2022 and as we think about 2024, the number one weakness of Joe Biden is it's the border stupid. And this perfectly fits it's the border stupid, because it's the border. And guess what? It's stupid what they are doing at the border. And the incentive structures, Buck, you hit at what I think is just a jaw-dropping way to convey this. I tweeted it out yesterday. We are potentially paying illegal immigrants more money than we pay service members who give their lives to this country, who are citizens and who are fighting and risking their lives every day for this nation. The idea that that could be possible strikes everyone, Democrat, Republican, Independent, as not only an awful choice, but also a pathetic one and an indefensible one.
Clay, let's also remember that what we're paying these, what we would be, and when I say we, I mean it, because it's taxpayer money.
Yes.
What everyone listening is, we're going to be writing
checks.
You and
me, everybody out there.
We, the American people, to these families of illegal immigrants in the United States who willfully broke U.S. law, who enriched the cartels in the process, who gamed the immigration system, jumped to the front of the line, paying them for psychological trauma. Look, if the U.S. government had taken people into custody and someone had died because of malfeasance, wherever, you know, that can't happen, right? There are some basic expectations we have. We're paying people because of the trauma of being separated. The U.S. government puts Americans through trauma of separation
all
the time.
Well, think about what's going on with January 6th.
Yeah, I mean, what about the families of people that have been held in solitary confinement for 6 or 7 months for nonviolent
crimes? For trespassing.
Unbelievable what we're seeing happening here. But Clay, you know, you said Democrats are opposed to this. I think what you're talking about are centrist Democrats, persuadable Democrats, you know.
There are sane Democrats.
There are some.
Some of them. Yes.
But
look at the numbers, Buck. When you look at the numbers on the border, even the most diehard Democrat right now, Biden is so far underwater. I've never seen an American politician, president, who is this far underwater on any single issue. Even with his own party, he's underwater.
And here's the problem, though. This, what we're talking about, the numbers and how, and you're right. I mean, I would guess, and I haven't looked at them recently, maybe only 20 or 30% of Democrats, something like that, think Biden's doing a good job at the border. There's definitely a core group that's like, oh yeah, open borders.
Doesn't matter what Biden does. 20 or 30% are going to be he's doing an incredible job.
But from an electoral perspective, that's a total mess. I mean, that's a disaster. Unless the whole game here is what we see with the continued efforts to pass the largest amnesty in the history of the United States. And so you don't care, Clay, right? You don't care about the 5 or 10% of persuadable Democrats you're losing over these immigration policies, because the plan here is to add 15 or 20 million newly made Americans, so to speak, you know, giving them citizenship through an immigration amnesty. Illegal immigration amnesty. That's what they're hoping to accomplish.
Maybe the real secret of the Joe Biden administration, Buck, is he said he was going to bring Americans together. Maybe he's bringing Americans together and recognizing how awful he is instead of that he's doing a good job, because that's what he's managing.
You have more faith in these Democrats than I do, man. A lot of them are just like, yeah, it's not my problem. And also, I like the cheap labor, but we'll see. I mean, at least the right is fine. And independents are furious about this.
Overwhelmingly rejecting
this. That is the only saving grace politically. Easiest question of the week. How many days this week have you woken up in serious pain? If the answer is one, that's too many. How much longer do you want to experience that kind of morning? Well, how about this? Let's see if we can get you out of that. What would you give to not feel like that? Would you spend $20? Would you spend that cash and use 3 weeks or less to find out? Our friends at Relief Factor have developed a 3-week quick start pack. All you do is take Relief Factor 3 times a day at breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 3 weeks. And Clay, you'll know if it works for you or not.
Yeah, no doubt. My wife, your dad use it. You can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Relieffactor.com. You can also call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us on a great Friday, the eve of Halloween Eve. Did I get that right? The 29th. We got Halloween on Sunday. I hope all of you are ready for a fantastic Halloween. We'll try to have a little bit of fun talking Halloween. We got such a loaded show already that we got a bunch of different topics to get into. Want to give you an update. We were saying yesterday that Nancy Pelosi was going to try to get the infrastructure bill in the House done. She can't. Biden is in Europe right now. They wanted to give him a victory and at least not embarrass him. Instead, they were unable to give him a victory. And I think the whole budget process is an embarrassment at this point in time. We are weeks, I would say, just based on the numbers, away from some form of resolution there. The failure to get the infrastructure bill voted on, the failure of, so far, the Biden budget to also be implemented, has become a bit of a additional weight in the Virginia governor's race. If you have not been following this, we are going to be, I think, leading on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. This is my prediction. Crazy things can happen. But I think on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, We are going to be focused on this Virginia race and how many different directions it could go and all of the messages that it is potentially going to be sending. Fox News yesterday came out with a poll that showed Glenn Youngkin up by 8 points. Now, I think that is a wildly out of whack possibility that he could be up 8 points. But the numbers are moving from a gambling perspective in the favor of Republicans in a big way. All right. I had Dub, who works on the show with us. You may remember earlier this week, he was looking at what the odds markets were showing overseas. And so, you know, you can gamble on political results in England at many of the biggest places over there. And we told you that Terry McAuliffe was a decent favorite in that race. Much of his dollar value from a gambling perspective is now gone, and we are moving basically in a gambling perspective, Buck, into a dead heat. Are you with me that you're a little bit skeptical of the 8-point lead that the Fox News poll showed? That'd be an 18-point swing since the 2020 election.
I want our Virginia Klan Buck audience to know that this will be a razor-thin race, and you better show up and vote.
Yes.
Every single one of you listening to this right now in Virginia, do not get complacent. Do not think, oh, there's a poll, it's fine. You know, oh, it's, you know, it's deer season, I got other things to do. Get out there and make sure you vote so that Terry McAuliffe, the slimy Democrat, is not the governor of your state. Now, look, what Clay's saying is right. Obviously, the numbers and all this are looking good right now. I don't care. Go into this with the mentality that their only crushing victory is acceptable. A 2 or 3 point victory for Youngkin, not good enough. You, our Virginia listeners, right now, you have it in your hands to send a message for the entire country to see about the failure of Democrat policies, about the failures of this administration all the way down to the state level, because the Democrat Party calls all the shots from D.C., as we know. Clay, we got to get our people out there. It'd be huge to have a Youngkin win.
Monstrous. I mean, it would change the American political calculus overnight if Joe Biden, who won Virginia by 10 points, if in the first year of his administration, we saw a 10-point swing or more in the state of Virginia. If Glenn Youngkin wins, there is going to be a 5-alarm fire bell going off right now in the entire Democratic Party. I think it's happening already because they're terrified of what this lesson might be going forward into the midterms. But Virginia, you have in your power an unbelievable opportunity. Get out and vote in a big way for Glenn Youngkin. In the meantime, big tech, you know how it goes. They use your search information, your video views, the words you type most often online against you to allow advertisers to reach you. That's why we use ExpressVPN to provide online anonymity for ourselves and our family. ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from cyber criminals, and they make a tremendous difference with what they do. You need to visit expressvpn.com/clay right now. That's expressvpn.com/clay to get 3 extra months for free. expressvpn.com/clay right now. Don't allow the internet giants to take advantage of you by stealing your freedom and your privacy. ExpressVPN.com/clay.
These vaccine mandates are driving people out of the workforce. And as you see with this impending mandate in New York, it actually is also a threat to public safety. Yeah. No one should fear losing their job over the decision of whether or not they take a COVID vaccine. That's sure. We worked in Operation Warp Speed in record time to give the American people the testing, the tools, the medicines, and the vaccines to make the best decisions for themselves, their families, their businesses. These mandates are wrong, and they are driving labor shortages that are driving supply chain issues, and they need to stop, and they need to stop now.
Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. That was former Vice President Mike Pence laying it down over the vaccine mandates. Now, we've been discussing and debating this as a nation and certainly here on this show for weeks. But keep in mind that some of the more major deadlines are just days away now. So what was theoretical is about to become very real in places like New York City. New York, we have a huge New York audience. We're very blessed and thankful that you tune into us day in and day out. I'm here in New York. I formerly worked for the NYPD, so I know the NYPD pretty well. And they are now facing what is being described as a potential crush of early retirements ahead of the vaccine mandate deadline. Here's the latest on this. You have, as of right now, thousands, 9,000 to 10,000 NYPD members, according to the Detective Endowments Association. He told the Post he expects a rise in retirements. This is the New York Post, of 9,000 to 10,000 NYPD members eligible to retire or vest out. If this happens, you are going to see, I mean, right away, the fastest things when you're talking about a civil and municipal workforce, the fastest ways to see your city start to get really messy are not enough cops, not enough sanitation. Firefighters right up there too, obviously, but that's usually when you see a big fire and all of a sudden they can't deal with it. But cops and sanitation, those are things that you cut back on and people feel it. They know it's very real. Clay, here's the situation that we're seeing play out across the country. We are in the midst of a pandemic, and because people will not get a vaccine, and remember, here are the problems with the mandate as I see it, without even discussing the freedom and authoritarianism aspects of it. They do not make exceptions for natural immunity. They are not really giving people religious and other exemptions in major cities that are controlled by Democrats. So they don't care about natural immunity. They know the shot is temporary at best. And even in its peak window of protection, it is imperfect. And yet here we are seeing in real time the Democrats, because this is now a totally political binary issue, Democrat and Republican, Democrats pushing for the firing of healthcare workers during a pandemic, and now the firing of police officers who also play a role in the pandemic in the sense they're first responders. But we are in an unprecedented, once in a century rise in violent crime in the United States. And we're about to lose thousands of officers from some of our biggest cities. How could this be described as anything other than madness?
It is madness. And also, again, this show, I think uniquely, tries to go directly to the facts and the data and the studies to support the arguments that we're making. And there was a study that came out today in The Lancet. So COVID vaccine mandates, I believe, are unconstitutional. I think the idea that you should be forced in order to have a job, particularly a job that matters as much in terms of public safety as the police, as the fire department, as many of those jobs do. The idea that you would mandate a vaccine, in addition to being unconstitutional, is anti-scientific. And let me explain what this study came out from The Lancet and said, Buck. It said, people who are vaccinated against COVID are just as likely to spread the Delta variant as unvaccinated individuals are. So in addition to the fact, Buck, right now that we have an unconstitutional, in my opinion, mandate coming down from the federal government, the data, the actual data from scientists, The Lancet, kind of a big publication focused on medicine, they have said that being vaccinated doesn't make you less likely to spread COVID. What is the basis then? Think about the logic that we are applying here. We are demanding that people get the COVID vaccine, even though it doesn't actually impact the likelihood that they are going to spread COVID. So how is there a public health mandate that you must be vaccinated when the likelihood that you spread COVID to a coworker, which is the justification here, is basically the same whether you are vaccinated or unvaccinated with the Delta variant?
So here's what I think we see happening here, Clay. It's a mirror image of what they did with mask mandates. insofar as in the beginning, and you can go back, it was in the Atlantic, I remember, in the summer of 2020. I think it was maybe June or July. I feel like you and I might have even been tweeting about the same thing back then. They had a study, pardon me, I'm obviously still a little shaky. They had a study that they said showed that masking would reduce by about 60 to 70% COVID cases. That was what they initially were saying, and, you know, in the early, obviously not even a little bit true, right? But then what happens is when they're wrong, they keep saying something is better than nothing. Something is better than nothing. But they use the initial promise of an extremely high rate of protection, the initial promise of, no, this is going to be amazing. If you don't see it that way, you're a troglodyte, in order to get people to start doing this thing. And then when we see it doesn't work as well as they said it would, they say, well, it's better than nothing, isn't it? This got to the point, Clay, where that study, I think it was in Bangladesh, that huge mask study, where it was supposed to be, you know, I think it was even surgical masks, not even just the sort of standard cloth masks. They looked at, they said, well, maybe it was a 3% reduction in cases. 3%. And people were saying, oh, see, masks work. What they're doing now with vaccines is very similar. They told us it was 95%. They told us it was one and done. You're not going to spread it. Not true. But now to what you just said in The Lancet, which is one of the most famous medical journals in the world. So it's not, you know, this isn't like right-wing vaxtruther.org /net, right? This is The Lancet. What they'll say is, yes, but you're less likely to have that breakthrough infection. So even if you're as likely to spread it if you get it, because you're slightly less likely to get it, therefore, you're less likely to spread it. Therefore, you still should have to suffer through the mandate. They keep moving the goalposts, and we're all getting dizzy from it.
Not only that, you mentioned the mask mandate. Remember how far behind Biden was in the science that when he took office, he said, remember, if we just wear masks for 100 days, COVID will go away. That's what he told the nation. It was 100% a lie. Anybody who looked at the data knew it was a lie. Either Biden is too dumb to actually know what the truth is. I think there's an element there. Yeah. I don't think this is some diabolical plot by him. I think he's being led by people who are smarter than he is and are unwilling to acknowledge the falsities that they have been propagating, even as the data continues to change.
Can we come back and give some good news on the COVID fight front, though, courtesy of the governor of Florida, Mr. Ron DeSantis? And then we've got, I'm excited for Clay to tee off on the latest, because I asked, I said, am I allowed to say, remember, I think it was last week, I was like, am I allowed to say Atlanta Braves on the air still? Not sure how much longer. Clay's going to be explaining that at the top of the hour. They're in the World Series, folks, but give it time and it will be, you know, they'll have to be changing all the trophies and all the things that show them to just the Atlanta baseball team. That's where this is heading. Best discovery this fall, the gear I am currently wearing. In fact, I got the t-shirt on right now from Tommy John, and this is incredible stuff. The pullover tops, the undershirts, and of course the underwear, which is what started it all. It's so comfortable. When you make this same discovery, you're going to know what I mean. This brand, Tommy John, I love it. I honestly, Clay, I just sent one of our people a request. I said, can I get more of this gear? Because I'm wearing it so much that I'm basically all day, all the time, sponsored and wearing Tommy John.
I got it too, Buck, and it is absolutely fantastic, especially Tommy John underwear. When you start off your day wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. Tommy John men's underwear, breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric, four times the stretch of competing brands. That's why Tommy John has fanatics, not just fans, and we're two of them. Check out 16 million pairs sold. Buck, how can people get their own?
This fall, upgrade what's underneath with new Tommy John underwear. Look, you can't have a good day without good underwear that feels good on you. I'm telling you right now, it's a timeless truth. They look great. They feel even better. It's all backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/buck. That's TommyJohn.com/buck for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/buck. See site for details.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. I am down in the great state of Florida. Appreciate all the Floridians that I've already met down here who are living a free republic, the oasis of freedom, as Ron DeSantis calls it. And ironically, Buck, if you look at the data, we were just talking about the data from The Lancet on vaccinated versus unvaccinated spread of COVID. If you look at the data, and I tweeted this out, if there's people out there who you have friends and family, I know as we move closer to Halloween and the holidays for Thanksgiving and Christmas, that there are many people that will be surrounded by some who might disagree with them. And I would tell them, hey, you can spread the gospel of Clay and Buck. You can say, look, you may not agree with everything these guys say, but their facts are going to be pretty right. You might disagree sometimes with the opinion, but you should check them out. You should listen. We welcome everyone. It's a big tent on this radio program that Rush left us, the biggest radio program anywhere in the country. And the data right now, and I'm reading from the New York Times. Did you know, probably you didn't, that Florida has the lowest rate of COVID per capita of any state in the entire United States, and that Florida is less than half the COVID rate of New York? We've been talking about the vaccine mandates that are being put in place, and also less than half the rate of California. That is stunning, I think, to many people.
I mean, it's obviously because Governor Ron DeSantis put in place those really extreme vaccine mandates and mask mandates. And oh, wait, he did none of that. He refused to bend the knee and do these things that they said would be necessary to bring down Florida's caseload all summer, while you and I were saying, we've seen this before. It is seasonal, just like so many other viruses. It will move through Florida and it will move north. And that is currently what it is doing. But Governor DeSantis is also pointing out, Clay, that there are going to be a lot of long-term implications for this when it comes to people's relationship with the health bureaucracy and how they view just the general public health advice. Where, for example, because of how much there's been a politicization of vaccines for kids with COVID, right? You and I sit here and talk about measles. Stable, does not mutate, and 1,000 times statistically more dangerous to children than COVID, but people keep comparing these things and acting like it's the same. Meanwhile, you got a 1 in a million shot from, in terms of kids actually dying when they get COVID. Here's DeSantis saying this is going to change the discussion about vaccines for kids in a lot of ways.
I'm really concerned about how this is going to impact other vaccines, for example, the normal vaccines that kids take, my kids take, most of your kids, I'm sure, do. I guarantee you, you are going to see a decline in that, because I think you're creating a lot of distrust. I think you're creating a lot of people who are looking at these people that have been on TV for a year and a half, and they ain't told the truth.
It's 100% right. I think he's right, and I think it's unfortunate. COVID has been disastrous for our trust going forward in public health officials, because they have told us so many falsehoods for 18 months, because they have been dishonest with us, and because they have very rarely, if ever, leveled with the American public and let them know what was likely to happen and where we were headed. And I think that distrust is going to take decades to rebuild, if ever. And the body blow that science itself has taken, as the argument would be that science is not political, right? I mean, that's the strong argument, that we should follow the truth wherever it goes. When you tell me that it's safe when everybody else is locked down, that I can have a BLM protest, and when you tell me that there are something other than boys and girls in this world, I'm sorry, I ain't buying into modern day science.
Clay, imagine if your doctor told you, you need to take this antibiotic or you'll die. And then after you took it for 10 days or whatever it was, he said, I mean, you weren't actually going to die, but I just thought it might make you feel a little bit better faster, so I told you you'd die. Would you trust that doctor again?
No, of course not.
Dr. Fauci, admittedly, by his own words, lied to the American people about what he... Now, it's what's amazing is he's actually lying about lying, which goes even crazier, but admits that he lied about mask effectiveness so that he could then protect the supply of masks for the people that really needed them or whatever. I mean, look, don't trust Fauci when it comes to science. Definitely don't let him near your puppy. This is a guy that nobody should be trusting or listening to anymore. And yet the left still props him up as the high priest of Fauciism. It's absurd.
It's because so many people are so invested in the choices that they made that they won't continue to look at the data and adjust based on those choices. This is not about science in any way. It's about being right and refusing to admit when you were wrong. And one thing we try to do, Buck, if there were an incredible study that came out, that the next couple of studies came out and they showed, that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was way more effective than Moderna or Pfizer, we would come on and say, hey, this is a really interesting study. Maybe we need to adjust our opinion.
I mean, maybe some of us know
the Spirit Airlines that, yep, vaccine.
Maybe some of us had a feeling, Clay, the Spirit Airlines long term would be a better play than your fancy Delta and United vaccine, so to speak. Look, I'll tell you this, man. You know, I just spoke to my family, my parents earlier this week. They're both already scheduled for their boosters.
Yeah, mine got theirs.
And yeah, I mean they're getting their boosters, and I'm like, go for it. And we've already talked about, you know, if one of my parents gets COVID, we're going to try to separate them out, and I'm going to set one of them up so they don't have to be, because home spread is such a concern. I take this very seriously. You take this very seriously, based on what is real.
Yes.
Not based on what you can't control, not based on hysteria and absurdity. And this is why, I mean, to call people anti-vax because they have these very real concerns that are actually rooted in a more fulsome understanding, a more honest understanding of not just the data, but of human reality day to day. Clay, I can't tell you how many people stand in the elevator where I live. This happened this morning to me. Three people, I get on the elevator. All of them have masks down around their chins. I get on, they pull their masks up. Oh, gee, I feel so much safer now.
Well, I mean, I've been traveling all over the country all fall, right? I'm down in Florida. I was in Texas earlier this week. I'll be back down in Alabama next week. And I got to say, the way we win is by embracing normalcy in our lives. And one thing to do that's normal is stand up for what you believe in. That's what Allison Williams at ESPN did. She refused the company's vaccine mandate and decided to make her own intelligent decision. She opposes a vaccine mandate. She's going to talk about that lifestyle choice next with us.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.